This is Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station, part of the Attention Talk Network. Its sister stations include Attention Talk Video, your ADHD talk show station, our subscription-based newsletter, Attention Talk News, your ADHD news source. Each media channel can be accessed at their respective URLs, attentiontalkradio.com, attentiontalkvideo.com, and attentiontalknews.com. Keep up with all the media channels on our Facebook page, found at facebook.com/attentiontalkradio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach and ADHD Coach Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD sensitive to what is right and wrong, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuckman, one of our favorite guests, particularly on topics like this. We'll get into the media show in a minute, but real quick, today is Wednesday, August the 27th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in the year 2014. Some real quick announcements. The CHAD conference, the annual CHAD conference that is right around the corner, November 13th through the 15th. It's going to be in Chicago, right at the O'Hare Airport. To learn more about the conference, go to chadd.org. Also, tune in to our special show airing September the 24th that will preview that event. We'll be on with the incoming chairman of the board, Michael McKay, talking about the conference, and we also will have pre-recorded some small excerpts of some of the keynote speakers that will tip their hat to their topic and give you some insights and basically give you a lowdown on what the conference is all about. If you haven't been to an ADHD conference, you need to check it out. Go find your tribe. It's an experience that you can't get from a virtual conference or anywhere else. I know for me, most of my learning goes on in the hallways, talking to the people. So again, if you haven't been, or if you have been, either way, go check it out at chadd.org. Also, as Dr. Barclays asked me, we are promoting ADHDfund.com. It's a crowdsourcing site to raise funds for ADHD research, particularly in areas where there's not necessarily funding, but there's certainly some value. Let's see. I think that's all the announcements tonight. Our topic tonight is sensitive to what is right and wrong. With us is Dr. Ari Tuckman. For some reasons I won't get into, we did have to pre-record this interview, so we're going to roll the tape. So just sit back and enjoy. Here we go.
Dr. Ari Tuckman is a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He's the author of three books, Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook, More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD, and Integrative Treatments for Adult ADHD, a practical, easy-to-use guide for clinicians. Dr. Tuckman is a frequent speaker and has given more than 250 presentations on ADHD and other topics. He's over 100 episodes of his and over 1 million downloads of his More Attention, Less Deficit podcast. He's a member of the National Board of CHAD. For more information, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, Dr. Tuckman, welcome to the show.
Hey, it's great to be here, as always.
Have a fun topic tonight. I think that's really right up your alley. Our topic is sensitive to what is right and wrong. And I know, to me, emotions are as much a part of ADHD as attention in the context of having to regulate things. And I find that many with ADHD are sensitive to right and wrong, principles and values. What are your experiences in this area?
You know, it's sort of funny. I got an email from you proposing this topic, and as always, you come up with these topics that I never would have thought of, and then as soon as I read your email, I'm like, yeah, that is a good topic. Why is nobody doing that? So I received your email, and then, like, literally 3 days later or less, I'm sitting talking with a client, a woman with ADHD, and she's talking about how she just cannot let go of the fact that the school board is kind of proposing all these cuts to, you know, certain programs at the school, and that it just really, like, she just cannot let it go. And I was like, wow, that's what Jeff was talking about right there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think that, you know, as I suppose with everything ADHD and everything for perhaps everybody, I think there's the neurology and there's the psychology as far as this topic goes, and I think probably most of them go. And I think that it might be helpful perhaps to kind of separate that out. And I think that so the neurology piece is kind of like you said, it's the emotion piece, it's the emotion regulation related to ADHD and particularly ADHD executive functions. So, you know, I think that that's kind of one line of argument or discussion. And I think then the other is where the psychology in terms of the life experiences that somebody has over the course of their life and how that shapes their interpretation of events around them and therefore their reactions to those events and the thoughts and feelings they have about those events.
I like your notion of separating the neurology and psychology because I think it's really important. And we've used other metaphors in this show. There's the machine, that's the physical brain, the mind, the thoughtful, mindful brain, and those two have to be kind of in harmony in order for you to kind of accomplish your mission. And now that you say that, when I think about the neurology side of it, you know, we've done a couple shows. One of them that was particularly impactful for me was on dopamine, and we were interviewing a Dr. Bloom. My first question to him is, are we addicted to drugs or are we addicted to dopamine? And he said, it's actually an interesting question because we're probably really addicted to dopamine. The drugs just enhance the dopamine experience. And I say that because I think that if there's right or wrong or injustice in the world, I can see how that might ignite that kind of fight or flight part of the neurology that might have a person react in that in a particular way in one side, and then you go to the other side of what you just talked about, the life experience of what a person has in their life and maybe injustice is done. And to me, this topic is interesting because the hypocrisy of the world, politics of the world, the principles, we can use different words, but it all gets ingrained in here, and there's an inherent conflict of what's going on and the emotional side and how you react to it. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was actually going to add sort of another word I would add to what you just rattled off there is drama. You know, that it's that kind of drama that comes from kind of writing injustice or at least complaining about injustice.
Do you think that those with ADHD have more difficulty in this area, just dealing with the different sides?
I think there's a potential there. Yeah, absolutely. I do. I don't. You know, it's kind of like anything. You can't say something that's going to apply to every single person. But yeah, I do think that having ADHD does make you more prone or more sensitive to these sorts of things.
I do have to be careful. This is very much a show related to opinion, and you know, as a psychologist dealing with people, I don't know if you can actually get this exactly right, but just having an open discussion. When I think about this, there's one side of it is, you know, I've had some difficult life experiences, but also there's a little bit of maybe empathy sometimes for the underdog, and if something's going on in the world and you just don't think it's right, because of those with ADHD, maybe they struggle so much in life, they have a little bit more empathy and they have a tendency to kind of stand up or want to speak out on right and wrong. Thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what I would call, what I was going to say, and then I second thoughted it, what I was going to say is that I think that's the psychology piece in the sense of, if you feel like you have been on the wrong side of things more often than you should have or more often than other people, then I think it does have that potential to make you more sensitive than to other people who are, you know, on the wrong side of something or, you know, being kind of mistreated by other people or by circumstances or whatever. So, yeah, I think absolutely that can breed empathy.
and empathy to kind of stand up for the underdog and kind of speak out. And then sometimes, you know, you've got one person against the system, and I can see how that can begin to spin out of control because you want your voice to be heard, but, you know, it's a little bit frustrating because it's almost, it's like you against the committee, which makes it kind of difficult.
Yeah.
We need to run to a commercial. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, there is something kind of empowering about, like, I'm standing up against the system, you know, and it does kind of make us feel strong. And if we feel justified, you know, morally justified, or I'm taking a stand on principle, then that can be a very empowering kind of a thing. And that's great. But, you know, the thing is this really worth standing up for? And sometimes it is. But I think sometimes perhaps it is not, you know, and kind of teenagers are very good at taking stands on things that perhaps don't deserve the amount of stand that they're giving it. So, you know, it's a matter of being smart about it. But if you're willing to stand on principle and take the lumps that come from it, but it's worth it to you because of the principle of it, I have great respect for that. But you just want to make sure that you're standing up for the right things.
It's, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Tuckman. So often we do lots of conversations. We should do a show, All Roads Lead Back to Metacognition, because as I'm listening to you, you had this conflict and the passion and that notion, is it worth it standing up for? So we're going to run to a break, and when we come back, we can kind of get into the metacognition, because I think that that's a big piece of being able to manage at least the psychology side of it. So for our listeners to learn more about Dr. Tuckman, to access some of his podcasts, his book, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
We are CHAD, the nation's leading nonprofit organization serving the community impacted by ADHD. CHAD and Attention Magazine provide science-based information about ADHD to families, professionals, the media, and the general public. Attention is the only publication in which your paid advertising promotes the mission of leadership, advocacy, research, education, and support for the ADHD community. Interested? Advertise in Attention Magazine and CHAD's website at chadd.org or call 240-487-2314.
If you think you understand attention so well, then why are you struggling so much with it? Attention is as simple as it is complex to understand. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It's grossly misunderstood. Consider this. Focus on the wrong thing, get the wrong solution. In our new ebook, we'll share 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download our ebook today at attentiontalknetwork.com and start understanding and managing your attention today. The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an EDGE Foundation coach specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function impairment make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here with Dr. Ari Tuckman talking about sensitive to what is right and wrong, at least in the ADHD world. And before the break, I liked the splitting out the neurology and the psychology side of it. But at the end of the first part, Dr. Tuckman, we started talking about standing up. I heard a little passion in there. A question is this worth standing up for? And, you know, we've done some shows on what is attention, what is intuition, your daily diet of attention, self-esteem, et cetera. And it seems to me all those, we always kind of end back to the metacognition type thing, and that is to notice what you're thinking and then kind of question yourself, is this worth fighting the battle for or worth standing up for? We were talking about that a little bit before the break. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think everything does come back to metacognition, that it's all about, you know, success in life is about knowing yourself well. And that means sort of in general, how well do you know yourself in terms of, you know, I prefer these kind of situations rather than those, and these are my strengths and these are my weaknesses. But I think also knowing yourself moment to moment, and certainly when it comes to managing our emotions, that's a part of it, you know, being able to identify what am I thinking here, what am I feeling here, and then when the executive functions kick in, to then, you know, enable us to kind of think about and to make choices about, like very in the flash of a moment kind of choices, but make choices about what should I do with what I'm feeling? Should I act on this? Should I express it? Should I show it? Or is this something that's better kept to myself and I'm going to show either a different emotion or I'm going to show a watered down version, as in, like, you know, my boss just made me really mad and I'm so mad, but in the interest of getting paid on Friday and the Friday after that and the Friday after that, I'm not going to show how mad I am because, you know, if I do, I'm going to risk my job. So, you know, we all, and that's really kind of what managing emotions is about. It's that moment by moment, you know, regulating what you're thinking and feeling and, you know, bringing it back to this kind of right and wrong. You know, injustice or perceived injustice can definitely evoke some strong emotions. And I think that that's mostly a good thing, you know, in the sense that it shows that you care about whatever the situation is. You care about yourself or you care about the other person involved or you just care about kind of the principle of it. So I think that passion is a really good thing, but it can also be kind of tiring if it kind of stirs us up and puts us in binds of, like, you know, do I do this or do I do that or how do I respond? And so, you know, it's a bit of a mixed blessing, yep. I think.
I'm curious, as a psychologist from the model, if somebody's walking in and they're struggling with, you know, I don't know the right term, some people ruminate and they can't get it out of their mind, just at a high level, roughly what's the strategy of psychology to try to help a person deal with that?
Well, at least the approach that I take is I kind of come, and I'm not a particularly religious person, but, you know, I come back to the serenity prayer in the sense of, like, you know, is this something I can do something about? Is this something I should do something about? Or is this one of those things that at least for now I just need to kind of find a way to let it go? And I think it depends on the circumstances in terms of what the right answer is to that. Because sometimes it is a matter of, you know what, I have to do something about this in order to feel good about it. Other times, I think it's more a matter of, this is not within my control. I'm not able to do anything about it, particularly if we're talking about other people's behavior. Or I could do something about this, or I could have some influence on it, but does it come at an acceptable price or not, you know, and perhaps this is, in the grand scheme of things, perhaps I need to just let this one go, and instead of changing it, I need to find a way to be okay with it the way that it is.
It's interesting because, as a coach, if a person's coming in and they're fixated on this, and they actually can pause and say, does it serve me, is the ultimate question of choice, does it serve me to get all worked up over this? And
right.
If the answer is, yes, it does serve me, then as a coach, we begin to, what would it look like for you, you know, how would you know your actions are serving you in that kind of way? And so you'd be very futuristic, like, and you follow them kind of down that path, but you kind of like, okay, what would it look like if it was doing it to kind of serve yourself? If they made the decision that, no, this really doesn't serve me, I just kind of can't keep my mind off of it. It's funny because there's a gazillion coaching strategies, but the mindset that I come from is you can only pay attention to one thing at a time. And you go back in your past and you say, when were you all worked up and you were able to let it go? And I listened for the characteristics of what was going on in that time frame, and an example of it is a common one would be, well, you know, I was all worked up and I exercised. And I went and played basketball, or, you know, I did whatever. And, you know, when you're playing basketball, the focus is in on the ball. So it's almost like you're willfully putting yourself in an environment where your mind has to shift to something else, or the idea is to find something else to think about to kind of crowd out whatever it was that you don't want to be paying attention to. And so
right.
It becomes very much of, let's take a look back in the past and look at times where you were all worked up, and for whatever reason, you were able to downregulate your emotions, and let's figure out what you were doing at that point in time, because that would be the tool. So we're not getting around the emotional side of it. We're just saying, hey, this doesn't serve me, and what have I been able to do in the past to get around it? Again, it's not a therapy side because it's still there. We're just trying to say, how do you get past it today? And I'm just kind of interested in your thoughts on that type of strategy from your perspective as a psychologist. I don't think there's a good way or a bad way. I just think it's kind of different models. Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that approach very much fits into the way that I tend to approach these situations. And I think that there are two ways that this kind of rumination becomes self-reinforcing. I think one of them is that there's a little bit of a kind of, as much as it's making us miserable, I think there's sometimes a little bit of a guilty pleasure in that ruminating over it, that we're getting something from it. We're thinking about this thing that makes us so angry or so miserable or, mistreatment that we are experiencing or that someone else is experiencing. But it's that guilty pleasure that it sort of feels weirdly good to be miserable about it, So We kind of keep going around and around and around. I think it gives us a feeling of, like being on the wrong side of an injustice can help you feel sort of morally righteous, But, of course, that comes at the cost of feeling miserable, because there's better things that you can be putting your energy into or putting your attention onto. So there's that aspect of it. I think the other way that we get ourselves into these self-reinforcing cycles is that we have that there's some situation, that some injustice that we're worked up about, and then we start feeling bad about how we're feeling. So we're having feelings about our feelings, or we're having thoughts about our thoughts. And then that spins a whole different cycle, what's wrong with me? Why can't I let this go? Nobody else worries about this. And then, you get into that kind of negative loop, and then it just, spins around and around. But I think regardless of which of these two or combinations going on, I think the solution still comes back to what you're saying, which is let's find something else. So to not make anything of, I had this thought, to not get worked up about it, to not give it more attention than it deserves, and instead to just say, this isn't working so well. What would be better to put my attention on right now? What is something else to occupy my time or other things to think about or whatever? And to just sort of move along, like no big deal, very casual, just sort of move along to some other topic that's going to serve you better.
I can't, as I listen to you, on that, another show that we did that just jumps in our mind and some things that we've done together is boredom. And how does that relate to all this is sometimes, as you've described it, and we're still in that space of metacognition, of kind of noticing kind of what's going on, is at a time when you've got nothing else to think about, or maybe you're kind of bored, maybe that drama gives you a little dopamine rush and it feels kind of good. And it's kind of funny is because as you can begin to witness your thoughts and your kind of situation, you can begin to sometimes piece apart and say, well, I'm really worked up over this when I normally wouldn't be worked up over this because I'm really kind of bored right now. Which,
right.
Again, I'm not so sure we're going to solve any problems, but I do think that this space of injustice or sensitivity and principles and politics and all that stuff really comes back to your ability to kind of witness what's kind of going on and find a structure for you as an individual that can help you say, listen, does this serve me or does this not serve me? If it does, then how do I get to where I want to go with this? Or if it doesn't, how do I get to where I can kind of walk away from it? Fun stuff. We need to run to a break again real quick. For those that want to learn more about Dr. Tuckman, his books, his podcast, his lectures, everything, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
You can't go off to school with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an Edge coach can help your student reach their full potential.
Are you always late? The Time Timer is an award-winning time management solution that's helped millions of people with ADHD manage life better. As time passes, Time Timer's bright red disc disappears. Visit timetimer.com and use the discount code ATR for 15% off.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Focus on the wrong thing? Get the wrong solution. Misunderstand attention, and you'll struggle with it. Get 5 key tips and insights on managing ADHD learned from conducting more than 300 interviews with attention experts. Download the ebook today at AttentionTalkNetwork.com and start managing your attention today.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Everybody, we're back. We're here with Dr. Tuckman, one of my favorite guests to have some of these bring peace to the world kind of conversations. But I say that kind of jokingly, but I do think there's a lot of good stuff people can begin to think about here. And Dr. Tuckman, we've been talking a little bit about the metacognition side, and it has a slightly kind of negative tone to me, not deep, but I want to kind of go to the other side, and that I personally think that our world needs people that have a passion and will stand up for what is right and wrong, and that are principles, and that do fight hypocrisy. And if ADD is one of those things that is, you know, you do need to self-regulate your emotions, or you have more difficulty of it. To me, it's like gasoline on fire. And those with ADD, sometimes when they're passionate about something, I mean, they're really, really hyped up and they're really passionate. But I think we need some of those people in our world. Thoughts?
I think we do, absolutely. And I think that, you know, especially in this day and age where there's less and less sort of funding or money in journalism, as in like investigative journalism. And, you know, a lot of what passes for journalism these days is really more kind of just people expressing opinions and dressing it up as news. And I think that that's a problem. Like, if we don't have a watchdog in society, then it means that the individuals become that much more important. So, you know, someone who's going to make some noise about something and get the attention of, you know, whatever journalism remains, or people in the neighborhood, or, you know, whatever the relevant sort of group of people is. So yeah, I agree.
There's a lot of people that I find out on some of the forums on Google+. I'm not a big LinkedIn person. And a little bit to a certain extent Facebook. There's a lot of people that I've noticed with ADD that have gotten through that are actually passionate. They're talking about their stories. They're starting support groups. And I think that many of those movements started from an area where a person felt somebody was wrong or there was some injustice. And I think, again, that passion, that inspiration in those situations are very, very channeled to help the ADHD community. But it doesn't necessarily belong there, too. I mean, it can be outside. That can be a global issue and an educational issue. And again, one of the things that I just want to bring some parity here is if you do have ADHD and you are identifying this and you struggle with right and wrong, there's nothing wrong with your voice standing up and doing something about it, particularly if you make the choice that it's a calling of yours and it serves you. So, again, in that light, I think that it's a huge deal and something to be celebrated.
You know, it kind of reminds me there's this guy, Bill O'Hanlon, he's a family therapist who's written some ridiculous number of books, like 20 or 30. And in addition to kind of the clinical stuff that he's done, he's also done a bunch of writing and speaking to help therapists of various kinds or clinicians of various kinds, to help them with their book writing and their presenting and all this and that. But he has this great line where when he talks about finding your passion, he's got this great kind of like rhyming thing of either bliss, dis, or pissed. So bliss meaning this is something that you're really passionate and excited about, so that's a more positive thing. Dissed meaning something that you feel like you got dissed over, so you got screwed over in something and now you're going to go out and kind of make the world a better place. So, like, you know, in this context, the example that obviously comes to mind is the student with undiagnosed ADHD who felt like they got, you know, mistreated by teachers, who decides, you know what, I'm going to become a teacher and I'm going to be a much better teacher than any of those teachers that I had, or at least those really awful ones. And then finally, you know, so bliss, diss, and then finally is piss. So something that is just like, you know what, I'm just really angry about this thing that's going on in the world, or at least thing that's going on in my world, and I can't take it, I won't stand for it, I'm going to do something about it. So I think that, you know, certainly the diss and the piss very much fit into this discussion of injustice and right and wrong. And I think that you can take a negative into a positive like that, and it can become a really good thing, you know, that kind of motivation. Again, as long as you're clear about what it is that you're doing, what are the risks, what are the potential rewards, and, you know, that you're really kind of doing something positive with it, as opposed to, like, I don't know, publishing embarrassing facts about the online about the teachers who treated you badly. I mean, I suppose that's kind of a passionate endeavor as well, but I don't think I would recommend that particular tactic.
Blissed, dissed, and pissed.
Yeah.
That's, that's absolutely brilliant. There's so much to be said about that, but what inspires me here is, I really like, I had 30 minutes I could talk about this thing, but not to do that. I think, I know on, people will come to coaching a lot of times, and we'll be talking about something in this particular area, and it kind of takes on a negative connotation. And again, we're talking about that this actually can be kind of a really good thing. And I'm kind of curious, have you ever had anybody that's come to you and, actually, let me back up. There was a picture I saw one time that had 5 stick figures, and they were all black, except the one in the middle was blue. And the caption was, different or special? And the thing to me that was interesting is the same picture, but if you said different, that was a negative connotation. But if you said special, it was a positive connotation, noting that the blue stick figure was not the same as everything else, and so how you labeled it had an impact on how you saw it. Which, as an aside, Dr. Tuckman, there's a thing that I've been doing on Google Plus right now, because I've been talking about your whole explanation and excuse thing from a prior show. Everybody's like loving the difference, because again, it's how you frame it. And in that notion of different or special, I think a lot of people will come to coaching sometimes because they feel different. And it's like, can you make my stick figure black? And it's fun because sometimes they'll come in and we'll start talking about it, and they'll shift from, oh, wait a second, I always saw myself as different. I never really saw myself special. And the coaching actually turns at that point, not to metaphorically try to make you like everybody else, but how can we leverage the fact that you're blue so you can stand out on one of these causes? And I'm kind of curious, in your work with somebody, has anybody ever kind of come in like with a negative connotation about maybe some injustice or something like that, and where you ended is the complete opposite, where you're actually inspiring them to do something?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's really, you know, sort of my guiding philosophy, which again is a bit of a rip on the Serenity Prayer, is change what you can, accept the rest. So some things, like, you know, let's say someone has a tendency of running late and they're getting written up at work and their friends are giving them a hard time about it, on the one hand, we may focus on, okay, what are some things you can do, some different strategies to be on time more often? So that's that change what you can part, so you're not as much a victim of their injustice.
Mm-hmm.
But then the other piece of it, that, you know, accept the rest, is that it may be that you're just, even though you're going to be better at being on time, let's say, you may not ever be perfect about being on time, or one of those people who's there 5 minutes early and, you know, anything less is late. So, and I think that's the place to say, you know what, I am doing better with this. This is the best I'm going to do. And to kind of be a little bit okay with that, in the sense of, you know, acknowledging, look, I wish I could be better about being on time, but this is where I'm at. And you know what? I bring a lot of other good qualities to my job performance or to this friendship or whatever. So it's not all focused on, you know, you're late and that is the problem here, you know, so that it doesn't kind of crowd out the rest of what's going on in that situation or the rest of what this person has to offer. So it's kind of pulling back the focus on the lens, so to speak, so that you have a broader sense of what's going on. And I think that that's really important because if you say, you know, the way for me to feel good about myself is to never be late again, you're never going to get there, you know. So there's that balance between, yes, making a good faith effort and then recognizing, okay, this really is as good as it's going to get, and I can feel good about what I've done.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, as we move to kind of wrap this thing up, any other thoughts or concepts or things that we you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I think, well, as always, there's a bunch of them. Now I got to pick. I think that, you know, just because whenever we get talking, there's always so many great things that come up and all these awesome directions that we just didn't go because we had to make a choice about it. But I guess my main thing is to just kind of be clear with yourself, you know, really, what are the battles worth fighting and what are the battles not worth fighting, at least at this point in time? And, you know, and thereby, where does your attention go? And I think that, and the reason why some battles are not worth fighting isn't because they're not at all worth fighting. It's because they're not worth fighting relative to what else I need to do. So you kind of got to pick your battles. And it just sort of reminds me of this interview I read with one of the kind of biggies with the Red Cross. And he talked about, you know, coming into these disaster situations, and there's 8 million things that have to be done, you know, and all sorts of bad things going on. And that what he does is, the first thing he does is he says, is there anything I can do about this? And if the answer is no, then he just ignores it because there's still the other 8 million things that he has to pay attention to and process and prioritize and make good choices. And I think there's something to be said for that. You know, and he was kind of profiled as this really high performer. And the reason why he could perform so highly was this sort of screening out process. And if there is something that's really kind of getting to you out of that sense of injustice, it doesn't mean that, I mean, maybe it's worth doing something about, but perhaps it isn't, at least at this point in time, and really making good choices so you can have the biggest and the best impact on the world around you.
There was just some simplistic beauty in what you just described. I know in the coaching model, the single greatest thing that we can help those with ADHD is pause and notice. Because the second that you pause and you notice, you're actually now in choice, and you can choose a different direction, which to me goes back to, you know, everybody knows I'm a big fan of Dr. Barclay's stuff is, you know, ADHD is an executive function thing, and executive function is really self-regulation, so it's an action you direct back on yourself to change your behavior, to change the future. And if you can just pause and notice what's going on and say, listen, here I am, here's the battle, and here's the war. If I win this battle, is that going to help me move me towards winning the war? Just simple thoughts, notions like that is that screening process that I think begins the filter for a person really kind of change their behavior in life. So I really appreciate you pointing that out, Ari, because I think that's the epicenter of really being able to manage some of the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As always, everybody, to learn more about Dr. Tuckman, go to adultadhdbook.com. And with that, Dr. Tuckman, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, hope you enjoyed this. Hope we spurred some thought, maybe some insights. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.